Economic Development and Housing Finance Division will come to order for Monday, October 18, 2010. Today's focus of this meeting is in connection with the flood disaster relief bill. And it just so happens that the auditor released a report on the insufficient oversight by deed of the 2007 flood money on the day that it started raining. And so it seemed that we better find out exactly what it is that the auditor discovered to make sure that we don't have that happen again and you find out what exactly went on. So, Mr. Nobles, why don't you come forward and let us know what the findings of the report were. I know the report is bigger than just the flood money, and so I think for purposes of this committee, you may want to stick to the part of the report that is pertinent to the flood. But also, if there are any inconsistencies or consistencies with the department at a tendency to be doing this in other areas, and there may be some crossover that may be consistent with what happened here that's going on in the department, you may want to highlight that also. So, Mr. Nobles, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the record, my name is Jim Nobles. I'm the legislative auditor for the state of Minnesota. With me at the table is Cecile Furkel, who's deputy legislative auditor for our financial audit division, and also Brad White, who is an audit manager. And thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. We understand certainly that today is about helping people and rebuilding communities. But we also see that it's about making choices, and that's what it was like before when there's an emergency with the Rushford flood. Even in an emergency, money resources are always limited, and you as the legislature have to come together and make tough choices, set priorities, and write those into the law. Our job as auditors is then to go back out sometime later and determine whether or not the law that you enacted was implemented and administered to the letter as you wrote it. We actually got involved with the Rushford flood situation fairly quickly after you met and appropriated money. We were contacted by Representative Drazkowski, who is from that area, as you know, and he expressed to us a concern that it appeared that the city of Rushford was going to be making some loans to some businesses that were not directly and adversely affected by the flood. We, of course, are not the administrators of the Department of Economic Development,
Just I'm going to stop you 1 second for the committee members. Directly and adversely affected by the disaster is part of the statute that you have in your packet, and it's 12A.07. So you can actually take a look at the statute there and see what he's referring to. So,
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we thought the appropriate thing for us to do at that time was to contact the commissioner, Commissioner McElroy, and point out this concern to him. And he communicated with us that he would ensure that the law was followed and that only those businesses that qualified under the law would receive funding. This year, as a part of our choice in which departments and agencies we would audit, we chose the Department of Employment and Economic Development for one of what we call a control and compliance audits. And we decided that the scope of that audit, because we can't audit everything, we wanted to look specifically at how well DEED was administering grants. And as I think some of you know, this is an ongoing issue and concern for the Office of Legislative Auditor. We issued an audit report, actually an evaluation report in 2007, about some of our concerns, broad, pervasive concerns about the inefficiencies and the inappropriate way in which some grant money has been used, and called for the state to establish tighter, more uniform policies and procedures and mechanism for ensuring that the grant money, and it is hundreds of millions of dollars a year that the state provides to various organizations in grants, that we have a better mechanism for ensuring accountability for that grant money. And so, again, our focus at DEED this year and our audit was specifically on grants. And as we were there, we decided to follow up on the issue of the grant that was given to the city of Rushford for the relief after the flood. And again, we wanted to follow up on whether or not the letter of the law was administered in this case, and found that, in fact, it was not. That the City of Rushford presented to the department a plan for using its grant that included giving money to five businesses that were not, even in the view of the city, directly and adversely affected by the flood. And so in the context of conducting that audit, we focused our criticism, if you will, on the department, on DEED. But we also recognized, and the commissioner can certainly address this issue as well, that the law said that the grants would and the loans would be administered with a good deal of involvement of local officials, but with approval of the plan and the criteria by the commissioner. As things progressed, I think it's fair to say that the commissioner and the department received a good deal of encouragement from the legislature to allow local officials to determine how the loans would be administered. And there was communication to the commissioner from legislators, which we have copies of, that strongly encouraged the commissioner to not have too heavy a hand and to administer the grant and allow the city to make the loans more in terms of the spirit of the law rather than the letter. So I think, although, again, our criticism is pointed toward the commissioner, who ultimately did have authority to not approve the plan that the City of Rushford presented, which included money going to businesses that were not eligible under the law. But I think, in fairness, the lesson to be learned here is that as you deliberate and write and pass a law which has very specific criteria, it draws a line. It says some people are eligible and some people aren't. And those are hard choices. But after you leave here today, it will be up to various executive officials, including the commissioner of the Department of Employment and Economic Development, to administer that law. And I think the commissioner of DEED and other commissioners will need your support in having to implement the law to the letter, where some people are eligible and some people aren't. Those are hard choices that you make and that the commissioner has to make. But if that's what you write into the law, that's what ought to be implemented. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Ms. Ferkel, did you want to say something? Or?
No.
Okay, everything was covered there. Are there any questions from the Senator Cope?
Mr. Chair, thank you for the report. You obviously spoke to and have responses from the department. I'm wondering what the response was from the City of Rushford officials and what the investigation, I mean, what questions were asked, what responses were given.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Koch, members, at the time this came to our attention, we actually met with the city administrator of the City of Rushford, and although our audit was directly of the department, we have certainly followed this issue, and frankly, it has been a controversial issue in the area of Rushford. And there is divided opinion. I think you've probably seen some media reports recently as the flood that just occurred happened, and people went back to Rushford and asked, how are things going? What resulted from the assistance you got? And the people there in Rushford feel very good about the assistance that they received, including the loans that were given to businesses that were not adversely and directly affected by the flood. They saw this as an opportunity for economic development, to rebuild potentially better than they had before the flood. And so they presented their plan to the department that included that element of economic development, and it was approved. And so how do they feel about it? They feel pretty good. And again, we're not saying that bad things happened in terms of money being misused or wasted. We saw no basis for conducting an investigation of inappropriate use of this money. We're simply saying that you, the legislature, came into session, passed a law with very clear language. You drew a line. I think everyone knew where that line was. The officials in the city of Rushford saw an opportunity to go beyond that line. They presented their plan. It was approved. They feel good about what occurred.
Senator Coogan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Nobles. I guess, I'm wondering here. Well, I was in Rushford shortly after the flood. I mean, I don't know how you define directly and adversely. Does that mean they had to have water in their business? I mean, I would guess that the businesses that didn't get water in their business, they were probably still directly and adversely affected because they may have lost 50% of their business or more. So I guess I'm wondering how you define directly and adversely. Does that mean they had to have water damage, or how does that work?
Mr. Nobles.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kubley, well, this is something I think you want going forward, since we are here now doing a similar piece of legislation with similar language as to what occurred previously with the Rushford flood. Maybe this is an opportunity for you and the commissioner and others who are directly involved to have that discussion to define exactly what you mean when you enact that into law. I think what the commissioner will tell you is that water is a very tangible piece of evidence that mm-hmm. needs to be present for meeting that definition. If you mean something different, I think that ought to be clarified in the law today, because I don't think that was clear back during the Rushford situation. But I agree, Senator, that it is sometimes difficult to know what is meant by that language. I think we all know from other disasters that have occurred that people who administer the law have a hard time knowing, was it somebody that was directly in the eye of the hurricane or somebody whose business was affected not directly by the hurricane, but because, you know, their business depended on the people who were directly affected. And so you're right. I think that the people in Rushford did try to make a case that although not water damage from water damage, but some of these individuals and their businesses were directly affected, although one in particular, it's my understanding, was not even in existence at the time of the flood, but again, was willing to come into Rushford and sought economic assistance from the city, ultimately from the state, and that was approved. I think we would all agree that the state is, in fact, in the business of economic development. We have all kinds of programs that try to help businesses start and expand. Mm-hmm. And I think the point here is, if you want economic development, and I understand that in the bill there is going to be some money set aside for economic development with certain criteria, but the emergency aid, the flood relief, was not for that purpose, and yet it was used for that purpose. Okay. And again, as to who decided, I mean, part of what we went on was the determination by officials in Rushford, who in fact created a category of loans that said very explicitly, these businesses are going to get these loans. These businesses were not directly and adversely affected by the flood. Okay. So they laid it out themselves. It wasn't a judgment we actually had to make.
I see. Well, that's helpful. Thank you, Mr.
And members, the main reason we're having this hearing is obviously because of the auditor's report, but if you look on page 4 of the actual bill that will be introduced today, the section that we are talking about is specifically referenced in the bill, and then there are some new criteria in the bill, and I don't know if Senator Lynch wants commented or not, but so that's why we're having the hearing, because we could potentially run into the same situation again in this flooding area, and I think we need to have a clear understanding of what this all means. Did you want to comment, Senator Lynch?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for conducting the hearing today. There was no shortage of discussion on this section of the bill as it was put together by a bipartisan group of House members, of senators, and representatives in the governor's office. A tremendous amount of discussion surrounding this. We ended up with $10 million in this bill for deed. And I sit here today and tell you that the governor did not feel, the governor was satisfied that the language contained in 12A.07, which you all have copies of, the governor was satisfied that that language was very clear and provided the necessary transparency, accountability, and protection. I believe that's the case as well. But having said that, and in light of the $10 million allocation that's coming forward in this bill, along with the legislative auditor's report, I think that this it's imperative that if you are the commissioner, you know, this is the heads up. This is the wake-up call. Because we don't want to see this happen again. If you are on the receiving end of these $10 million in proceeds, if you're one of the cities, one of the communities that's going to be on the receiving end of this, this is your wake-up call. This is your heads up. The letter of the law is very clear. So I encourage anybody who's going to have a part of this to take 12A.07, read it again, and if you've got any questions, make sure that they're answered clearly. Mr. Chair, with regard to any changes in the language, this bill provides that a report go to the chairs and ranking minority members of the Senate Finance Committees, the House of Representatives Finance Committee, and Ways and Means. And I'm hopeful that our conversation today will pave the way for a smooth process for the communities that are receiving these much-needed funds.
Senator Koch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And perhaps I'll direct this to Senator Lynch. The 12A07, is that where the language directly and adversely is contained in?
Mr. Chair, Senator Koch, yes, it's 12A.07, subdivision 1.
So there's no change in this. What is it about this language that differs from the Rushford language that you feel gives the heads up? What gives you the comfort in this? And then secondarily, it seems that there was a bit of a disconnect in we want to get the funds dispersed quickly to help people on the ground. We don't want it to be too hot, top-heavy. And yet, without the oversight, there's some concern that there wasn't proper oversight. So how do we...
Senator Koch, it's my understanding that in Rushford, they actually gave loans to a business that did not exist at the time of the flood. And so the question is whether or not that was an appropriate use of the money, because it does obviously wasn't directly and adversely affected by a disaster. But I'm not defending anybody here, but I think the reason for it was because some of the businesses were not able to start back up. And so this was an opportunity to create some jobs. Is that correct, Senator Lynch? I'm not sure, but I think that's the explanation. And I'm holding this hearing right now because of the auditor's report, because of what happened there, and because this particular statute is specifically referenced in this flood bill today. And I think Senator Lynch outlined it pretty well in saying that, we want to make sure we agree to the letter of the law and we use the letter of the law in giving out the money the next time around. I do know that local units of government were the ones who did the approving of the loans, and then I think they had to be signed off by the commissioner. But Commissioner, you may want to comment on this in a second here, but go ahead, Senator.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate that, and I tend to agree with everything you're saying. What I'm saying is what are we doing differently here? How does this differ? I'm just looking at the bill here.
Well, I think the only difference is if you look at lines 4.8 through 4.18, that on page 4, you'll see that that's added in addition to 12.7, but it really doesn't do anything other than say that before any grants under this section are awarded to local unit of government, the Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development shall report to the chairs of the ranking minority and Senate Finance Committees and House of Representatives, et cetera. So I think, intended to be a safeguard that the money is being approved by everybody. Is that correct, Senator Lynch?
Yeah, Senator, Mr. Chair, and Senator Koch, when we were discussing this portion of the bill in negotiation, we went over Section 12A numerous times. I'm looking at Senator Perry. He was a part of that team. And ultimately, we came back to the fact, and as I suggested, the governor was very clear in his reading of 12A.07. The letter of the law was very clear. The bottom line was the law wasn't followed. The law wasn't followed. And so in preparation for Senate File 1 today, and in light of the legislative auditor's report, we thought this might be a good time to heighten awareness of 12A and make it very clear to DEED and clear to the cities and communities that are eligible for these funds that the law is there for them, and we intend and expect that it be followed. End of story.
Senator Perry.
Mr. Chairman, and I would concur with Senator Lynch, but to answer Senator Koch's a little bit more explanation, and we did vet 12A, and we know that it's going to come back because we're going to have to take a look at 12A in the next session, possibly when we talk about some of the controls that some would like to have seen in this, and that would be that the monies going to through this would actually go to those buildings that were actually affected. You know, the verbiage that would say your building had to be affected. But we had long discussions about adversely affected, and we even got down to the point where we were talking about, well, if you have a business outside of the city, but they do business inside of the city, and 90% of their income comes from the affected area, are they adversely affected? Well, some think that yes, they would be. So there's going to be, I'm sure, down the road, clarification on 12A, not for this, because the governor has kind of pinpointed that this is the language, but we're looking very closely, as Senator Lynch mentioned.
Council tells me that lines 4.8 through 4.18 were also in the 2007 bill. And I wasn't on the Finance Committee at the time, but I'm assuming a report was given of the expenditures, so I haven't seen the report. But it does say before any grants under this section are awarded to a local unit of government that that the report has to be dispersed to these members in the law here. Does anybody have any more questions of the auditor or comments about this? Okay. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman.
Appreciate
members.
The report and the work you're doing. Commissioner, did you want to comment on any of this?
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, my name is Dan McElroy. I'm Commissioner of the Department of Employment and Economic Development, position I also held during the eastern Minnesota floods in 2007. We agree with the audit findings. We had, just in context, there were 9 communities that had Minnesota Investment Fund loans. A total of 155 loans were made, 80 in the city of Rushford, and 75 in the other 8 jurisdictions combined. There were 5 made that we explained to Rushford. We thought they were being aggressive. However, we had provided funds to Rushford, about $14.5 million, in the form of essentially a block grant from which they could make loans. In hindsight, we will not do it that way again. We will disperse funds as loans are approved that are in compliance with loan policies. Rushford's argument would be the argument that Senator Kubley made. That isn't what the law said. Rushford felt that all their businesses were impacted. The business that didn't exist yet, Rushford Hypersonics, actually they claim had a 2-person office in the basement of City Hall planning to exist, but it didn't exist really yet. We acknowledge that those 5 loans were aggressive. We won't allow those to happen. We will interpret the law as I believe the auditor did, meaning directly means you have water in your building. Now, in difference in the circumstance, Rushford as a valley community had some businesses that were deluged under, in the lower part of the community, and they had some upland businesses. We're not aware of communities in this flood that are geographically so situated, but if some come up, our interpretation of the law as written is that directly means water. and that it does not mean, as Senator Perry described, that their customers couldn't get to them. It meant that would be adversely, but not directly. And so, Mr. Chairman, our intention is to make several changes. One, we will make clear to communities that businesses are only eligible that had direct water damage. We will not dispense block grants, and we will review loans to assure us that businesses had direct and adverse damage. In we made about $29 million in loans in 2007, of which $1.3 million were in this questionable category made only in the city of Rushford.
Refresh my memory a little bit, because I remember having a hearing in 2007 about dispersing the funds. And
October the 9th at 1 o'clock.
Okay. I think it was a long hearing, too. And
Chairman.
Senator Metzen, 1 second, and then I'll get to you.
Yeah, there's no question that we have
okay,
to.
Okay, go ahead, Senator Metzen. Go ahead.
All right, you recognize me?
Yes, well, I was talking, but you go ahead and talk, Senator.
Well, yes, you were interrupting me.
More seniority, so you go right ahead and say whatever you say, Senator Metzen.
Well, we have to do some of these things, and we have to tighten this thing up, and some changes have to be made. But we're sitting around here for months when we're enacting some of this stuff, saying, let the locals. They know more than we do here. You know, they're the ones in the middle of it. So, I mean, we could accept a little bit of blame here, because I was sitting on this committee. I'm sure it was this committee that said, what do we know? You know, the locals are the ones right on the spot. They make decisions. You know, we're big government. Where should they be made? And I remember that discussion. So I don't think it's 100% wrong here. Changes have to be made. But, we were leaving, a lot of the discussion was leaving it up to the locals. You know, they're the ones. So we left it up to the locals, and then we get.
Well, and that was, I think, part of the discussion of that hearing that we're talking about, and getting the money out faster. And I don't remember if us telling you to get the money out faster had any effect on the way the money was given out or not, or if, and maybe it did. But, I mean, your internal workings then were what happened after we had the hearing, and I remember the money was dispersed, and I think who needed it. But
Mr. Chairman, the big issue at that time was whether the terms of local loans should be comparable to terms that had been used in East Grand Forks or Breckenridge or Roseau. When the city of Rushford wanted to grant more generous terms because they felt that the concentration of impact with 90% of their businesses, and I believe it was 70% of their homes, necessitated a more generous loan term. And we were hesitant to do that, but following that hearing, we agreed to that more generous loan term. The Category 3 loans that they put in their provision said that kind of defined as impact, indirect impact, and it was aggressive under the law. And in hindsight, I wish we hadn't approved the policy. We will be I understand what Senator Metzen's saying, to trust the locals, but the law specifically said they had to be directly and adversely impacted. And Rushford made 5 loans where I don't think that was the case. We will be aggressive in making sure that those provisions of the law are followed with this appropriation.
Okay, and then on your letter to Senator Cohen and Representative Solberg on October 16th, where you said each community and county establishes local policy and procedures with approval from our department, does that mean you approved the policies and procedures but didn't necessarily know where they were getting the money? Is that what that means?
It means, yes, that we approved the policies and procedures but not necessarily how they would apply them in every case. And we communicated to Rushford in the winter of 7, January, February of 8, that we thought they were being aggressive. They didn't agree with us, and they made the loans. It was our belief at that time that our only remedy would have been to file a lawsuit seeking an injunction to keep them from making the loans. We elected not to do that. In the future, based on this audit report, we would be more aggressive. However, that won't be an issue because we won't advance money that can be loaned prior to a specific loan document to a directly and adversely impacted business being in existence.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner, thank you for that reminder about that hearing, because I do remember that there was one of the things there was a lot of discussion about, as you said, was the loan terms, and that there seemed to be because of the disagreement, at least at that time, a lot of dissension, I guess you could say, with the community of Rushford and your department and how things were being handled at that point. So I'm just wondering, besides the issue of how directly and adversely, I don't even remember that question coming up at the hearing. Maybe it did, but I don't recall that. But with regard to the loan terms going forward, how is that going to be handled? I think the concern at the time was that, as you said, you were taking a fairly conservative approach to how those loans were going to be made and what the terms would be from a financial standpoint. And the community of Rushford felt that the language of the law allowed for more generous terms. And I think that was the concern of the legislature at that time, that the language of the law specifically said that that there should be flexibility in allowing for those more generous terms. So how will that be handled going forward?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, we'll simply work with the communities. We felt that there was some benefit in being consistent with how businesses in Roseau or East Grand Forks and Breckenridge had been handled. And those loans ranged from 25% forgivable to 50% forgivable. It varied by community. In all of the communities, to the best of my knowledge, except Rushford, those were similar terms that were granted in 2007. Rushford was more generous because of that concentration of impact. And I think one could make an argument that in Zumbro Falls and Hampton particularly, because 100% of their business district was wiped out, terms similar to those used in Rushford would be very reasonable. In communities where there was less concentration, terms more similar to those used in Winona County or Fillmore County or Houston County might be more reasonable. But we have direction from the legislature to be try to be flexible to local conditions, and we'll make an effort to do that.
And, you know, it just occurs to me that, you know, maybe in the case of the hypersonic business in Rushford, and maybe this is something that you can consider going forward, that they may have qualified for other monies that deed would be able to loan them other than the flood monies, and so the possibility could be that if this situation does arise again, that we find a different pot of money to give them the loan out of. Because I can see somebody in Zumbro Falls saying, I'm not building my business back here again, but somebody else coming in and saying, I would like to build a new business here, and the mayor's going to have a hard time saying, I don't want to give you the money. Yeah. And so,
Mr. Chairman, we explored that. The challenge is that we haven't had an appropriation for the Minnesota Investment Fund since 2005. The Minnesota Investment Fund, non-flood, has essentially not had money available to assist in these kinds of circumstances, except for some annual repayments, but it's a relatively small amount of money. There may be other tools that we can use, or it may be the legislature should consider making a non-flood appropriation to the Minnesota Investment Fund for assistance with the pure economic development aspects of situations like this.
Any other comments?
Yeah, just a quick question. Commissioner McElroy, one of the things about the directly and adversely affect is it limits who's eligible. And my curiosity on this is in 2007, were there any businesses that did not get help as a result of the money running out, for example, and those kinds of things? And that's what I'm concerned about. We have a finite amount of money and probably an unlimited amount of need and want out there.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, Senator Kelash, no, there was sufficient dollars. In fact, we were appropriated, I believe, $35 million and used 29 million for Minnesota Investment Fund loans. And the balance was transferred to other programs within the flood bill for flood hazard mitigation and flood buyout circumstances. There were, in other communities, some businesses that were told they didn't qualify. In Rushford, they were more aggressive, and we will work to make that more consistent in this circumstance.
Thank you.
We simply now have a definition that directly means water, not a loss of business.
Any other comments, questions from the committee? Anybody in the audience like to comment or make a Senator Rosen?
Well, thank you, Senator Tomasoni, Mr. Chair. And thank you for allowing me in your committee. This is a fun committee. Is this the time to bring up the nursing home? Or are we about done? Or I can bring up a new topic?
I think we're not.
It's on the next subject.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Go ahead. Senator Rosenblum.
It deals with the Minnesota Investment Fund
it does,
issue.
She does have a legitimate possibility. Mm-hmm. Of
yeah, but this is a completely different issue that I brought up.
It's not on the auditor's report. So if anybody has, does anybody in the audience want to say anything about the auditor's report or about how the money was used in the last flood? If not, then would you like to come up to the table? You have to just come up to the table and. Welcome to the committee and identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. I'm Laura Deering of Rushford, Minnesota. And I served on the city council. I thank you for allowing me to share on this topic. I want to first clarify on the two loans. I think bringing up the most discussion, I did vote no on. I agree it was very aggressive as the words being used by Deed when it came to the loans. I do have some suggestions that going forward might be helpful on the new bill.
Go ahead.
I think it's important the first question be asked, was the business established prior to the disaster event? Second, were there insurance claims supporting losses, loss of property, loss of inventory, loss of revenue? And then independent groups such as Red Cross stating level of damage, low, medium, high, and then also a measurable such as the level of water, flood waters. I think it would be helpful if there is an anonymous hotline so citizens could report alleged fraud. Perhaps it'd be helpful too that communities know a mandatory review, say perhaps a year later, may be conducted involving say 25% of the loans. I suggest a prioritization guide for those making decisions of loans. In Rushford, in the early part of the recovery, it was very concerning. We were going to run out of money. And some of the businesses were asking for significant portions of the allocated funds, and having a prioritization guide would have been very helpful at those meetings. I agree with the comment that typically people in the community can make the best decisions regarding what's needed. However, my experience as a council member, it added extreme amount of stress to an already stressful situation. We had huge issues in front of us regarding our infrastructure. You may recall we didn't have drinking water, we didn't have sewage or electricity. Those things were huge topics. So adding on top to city council duties, going through loan requests, it was an added burden, very much so. I think also it made it difficult for the council to remain unbiased in a small community. I might suggest nonprofits, what they do in a disaster-affected community is that they ask the community set up a committee with city leaders, and this committee is not associated with the city. And typically you have leaders within, say, your school or your area churches, religions, et cetera, respected leaders, and that they will then come and work with them with that committee, and perhaps a committee for businesses could also be considered to do that exact job of carrying out the loans. Another thing might be having two independent committees when it comes to these loans to make sure that it does meet the letter of the law. And I would also like to take this opportunity to share that along with Steve Draskowski, I also tried to make awareness, especially regarding the two loans. I talked with Steve and I talked to Sharon Ropes. Sharon Ropes was very helpful and critical in writing that bill, and also her interpretation was very clear to us in stating that it was for the businesses that were directly impacted. And she also shared that they allocated the money and there might be not enough money or too much money, but the way that was written is if there's money left over, then it was going to be shared with other people that had needs. And it was commented here not too long ago that they're not aware of anything bad happening. However, working weeks and weeks with people that lost everything, their homes, their clothes, their cars, their jobs. I have to ask, did something bad happen to those people because they didn't get those funds? I also called Deed the day before these loans came on our agenda, and I talked directly with Paul Moe, and I stated the one business never existed, and the other business was far away up on a hill and may have been affected. We all lost power, we all lost water, but were they impacted? I just want to share my regret that if what happened at Rushford regarding these loans is causing a delay to flood-affected communities, you have my heartfelt apologies. Thank you.
Thank you, and I don't think it's going to cause any delays. I think it's just it's brought light to the letter of the law, and that people have to make sure that it's done correctly this time. Whether or not that was breaking the law, I'm not sure. I think your perspective on it is good. You know, Commissioner, she brought up several different things. Do we not have an anonymous hotlines? Or do we not have these kind of things available for people to call? And level of damage, level of water, that type of stuff. Do the regional people from Deed actually get involved in these things?
Mr. Chairman, we didn't have a formal anonymous tip line. People certainly called us, as you did. And we shared those concerns with the city of Rushford, who basically said, we've been given jurisdiction, we don't agree, and we're going to do what they believe to be right. In terms of our local people, we do have people on the ground. We will continue to do that. In fact, we're planning to start going business to business after this bill becomes effective. The difference will be that we won't advance dollars prior to loans being approved that are in compliance with the law. Nor will we allow a policy like we allowed that implied this indirect impact. And so we will keep what happened in Rushford in 2007-08 from happening again.
Any questions or comments from anybody? Thank you, Ms. Dealey. I appreciate you coming forward and giving us your perspective on it. Senator Rosen, you want to get an interpretation of something, I think, or at least give your opinion of what the interpretation should be. So go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair.
This has got something to do with the nursing home. So
yes,
we talked about this in finance. And go ahead.
Thank you. This deals with the New Richland Care Center. And in finance, it was on the surcharge tax that is that they have to pay every month. This, dealing in this committee, deals with the Minnesota Investment Fund. And there seems to be some... I'd like to have an interpretation or clarification that even though they are a nonprofit provider, they're still owned by the city. And it does not specifically designate in the language that a care center would be eligible for a Minnesota Investment Fund. The care center was not completely wiped out. They're redoing it, but all the residents had to be discharged. Some crossed all southern Minnesota. So the 44 residents are gone. And they will be gone for approximately 3 months. And as you know, they need help rebuilding this care center. So I would just like to, I know there's going to be work that will be done in January on this, but I would like to have a guarantee from the department that the language that is in 12A.07 would include a care center, because it says, but not limited to, and that was really the only language that gave me any comfort, and so I'm just asking for on the record.
And I think part of the issue here becomes that the bill's probably going to come over to us from the House, and it's unlikely that we're going to change it. And so I think what Senator Rosen wants to know is, what do you think the language says? Since we've just gone through about an hour of talking about what different languages mean, but go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, because the care center is owned by the city, it may qualify as a public facility under FEMA and be eligible for FEMA assistance. I spoke with Chris Idy at Homeland Security Emergency Management, and she'll inquire with FEMA about that. If not, the language in 12A.07 refers to establishment and makes clear that nonprofits are establishments. I can't guarantee what the city loan policy will choose to do or if the county administers it, what they'll choose to do. But there's no prohibition in 12A.07 for nonprofits.
Well, Mr. Chair and Commissioner, it does say nonprofit in there, in the language in Subdivision 3. I guess my confusion is if a care center, nursing home, is under the definition of a health, the health care. It says assistance through local grant agreement may be provided to businesses, cooperatives, utilities, and nonprofit organizations, including but not limited to those that provide residential health care, child care, social, and other services on behalf of DHS to residents of the disaster area. So my question to you, Commissioner, is will the care center be eligible for the Minnesota Investment Fund?
And Commissioner. Mr. Chairman, Senator, I'm hesitant to give you an answer until I ask a Deputy Attorney General or Department of Human Services how they interpret that. We also want to, it's probably not usually a good idea to make those kinds of decisions without some careful analysis. We'll do our best to be helpful. I can't guarantee they qualify.
Senator Cooley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Rosen. You know, since it is a city-owned facility, they would be eligible for the enhanced payments from the federal government that we passed last session, although a number of those publicly owned facilities are having trouble with the timeline. And so, you know, I had a bill drafted that would extend the timeline for a year, which I think they would need under this circumstance. But they, it sounds as though they would qualify for that, and it's a big boost to the ones that are owned by a city or a county. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, that's not going to be included in the House's bill either. So, but I think we will be able to address that next session, and I'd certainly be willing to work with you to make sure that they were included in that.
That's provided we all get reelected, though.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Commissioner, you have one more comment.
No, only that we'll work with the Department of Human Service on that definition, but I'm hesitant to make a commitment not knowing exactly how the various parts of the law work together. Senator Rosen, as we always have, we'll work with you to try to be helpful.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, I appreciate you letting me talk about this. I do find it odd that this hasn't come up before, dealing with either the surcharge tax for a nursing home or this Minnesota Investment Fund. So apparently whether there has been no nursing homes that have had flood or tornadoes or some kind of damage before, but this is definitely an area in the laws that we need to work on to make sure that we can protect these.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Rosen, we had nonprofits affected in the 2007 flood, but not nursing homes or care facilities, and so we didn't get a chance to learn how they work together.
Senator Rosen.
So, Mr. Chair, I guess my parting, I'm a little disappointed that I can't get a yes, they will be eligible for the Minnesota Investment Fund out of the commissioner. I am disappointed in that.
Isn't it just because it's publicly owned doesn't mean that it's not nonprofit, right?
It's a nonprofit, Mr. Chair.
It is a nonprofit. That's what I mean. But what does publicly owned have to do with nonprofit? I understand you're going to look up. Okay,
we're going to have to work.
You don't
with
have
that
to answer. You don't have to answer it because I know you don't exactly know the answer because it's probably not that clear here. But it doesn't say that it has to be a privately owned nonprofit.
Is a government facility under this in this context the same as a nonprofit? And I don't know the answer to that. We'll work to try and figure that out. I'm sorry I'm not able to make you that promise, but I think it would be unwise to do so when I'm not sure of how the law will work.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Any other laws that we need to figure out if they're ambiguous or not? Okay. Well, thank you all. I think we got to the heart of the matter here, and everybody understands what the reason for this hearing is. So meeting is adjourned.